Now we're recording again.
The time is 6:30. The chair will call the Human Services Committee meeting of Monday, August 3rd, 2015 to order. Ms. Davis, could you please call the roll?
Sure. David Hallman?
Present.
Mike Gable?
Yo.
Greg Retzlaff?
Here.
Leah Blau?
Here.
Aaron Decker? Excused.
Mm-hmm.
Anita Johnson? Also excused.
Mm-hmm.
David Arrington?
Gets here when he gets here. He's on his way. Presumably.
And Jasmine Zeden is excused, and Sarah Klimisch, I haven't heard from in governance.
Okay. Citizen comments. If there are any citizens wishing to speak, please feel free to stand up, state your name and address for the record. You have 5 minutes to address the committee. Seeing non-citizen comments are closed. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of 7-6-2015?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gable, second by Supervisor Blau. Discussion? No? It's been motioned, seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Minutes are adopted. Agenda item number 4, resolution to approve the county executive appointment of, I will not butcher the name.
Aloysius.
That's what I thought, but I didn't want to. I'm still careful.
That was my guess.
Our potential new director of the Division of Veteran Services. Mr.
Thank
Jansen,
you.
Good evening.
Yes, I would ask your support of this resolution. Ali is what he prefers to go by, is here this evening to answer any questions that the group would have. But as you can see from his resume, he has been the Racine County Veteran Service Officer since September 1st, 2011. So he comes with us with a lot of experience from the scene. And prior to that, was in the Navy and most retired there as a command master chief. So I won't get into reading his resume. I would ask the committee to support his appointment. And if there's any questions, Mr. Nelson is here for that.
I have questions, unless anybody else is. From Racine to us, what did we offer you that was so attractive?
Everything, I guess. I look at it from a business standpoint, and I think Kenosha is a very vibrant city and county, and we're doing some great stuff in the last few years, and I live here, most importantly. My beautiful wife, Tarina, also is a business owner that owns a business in Kenosha, so I'd be closer to her. If I want to go have lunch, I can have lunch with her. I couldn't do that in the past.
Supervisor Gay?
Command Master Chief, what was your rate?
I started out as a storekeeper, and I went into the Senior Enlisted Leadership Program back in 98. I was a command Sea Chief for USS Robert G. Bradley's, a frigate. And then from there, I went to Recruit Training Command in Great Lakes, and from there, I went to the USS Enterprise and USS Austin. I came back to Great Lakes because I didn't do it right the first time, so they brought me back. I ended up retiring from Great Lakes.
Yeah. Supervisor Russell? Just a quick, you're a Navy guy. I was just curious, in the Veterans Affairs, how do the branches get along in that regard?
Get along very well. Yeah, you know, we do pick on each other, branch of service. That's part of part of the nature of the beast on that. But, you know, it's in good taste, mm-hmm. But we get along very well. I mean, we carry out the same mission.
Oh, question. Yeah, this is for Daryl Green's position. Okay.
Correct.
Did you know Mr. Green?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know Daryl Green prior to me retiring from active duty. And we worked very close together when I was the Racine County Veteran Service Officer for several years. So.
I know that, you know, the state does, obviously, in terms of Veterans Affairs and certainly the federal government. Sometimes there are speed bumps in terms of them doing what they need to do for vets. And it's sometimes, I think, a little unclear for those of us that are county supervisors where and when exactly we could be the additional muscle to make something happen. Any guidance for us as to?
Well, you know, I echo sentiment on the fact there's a lot, sometimes their policy is not clear. You know, that's what gets us in trouble from time to time, because when you try to hold someone's feet to the fire and the policy don't exist, you know, you run into problems. So, Well, we work with Wisconsin Department of Veteran Affairs to work things out. We have to work together because we carry out the same function of supporting veterans. They're doing it from the state level, we're doing it from the county level, and we all support the federal level. So,
I know there's a Veterans Caucus for the National Association of Counties that's very active.
Yeah. And I think the WCA as well, they're really engaged in a lot of policy making that affects veterans. I think one of the things, I'm not sure if John, if Daryl spoke to you about the grant, the CVSO grant, is something that we pay particular attention to because it's $13,000, which is a good sizable amount of money that we need for our veterans. And we don't want to see that go away.
Supervisor Gailey?
Is there much of a veterans homeless problem in Kenosha? I mean, I know there are at least two.
There's, I don't say significant. I mean, there's, you know, cases where there's homeless veterans. We try to reach out to them. Me and Daryl, in the past, homeless veterans stand down every year. Either we flip-flop from between the two counties. Either doing it Racine one year and next year into Kenosha County so we can capitalize on our resources. And we kind of bring the two counties together, you know, to help homeless veterans. When we put those events on every year, we have anywhere from about 20 to 25 veterans who either at risk of becoming homeless or homeless veterans. The homeless veterans is a very small number, maybe 3 or 4 that you might find. There are homeless veterans. We try to get them locked in with the Veterans Affairs at the federal level. They might be eligible for VA health care benefits. Sometimes housing with HUDVASH, that's urban, what's that, HUD and the VA. And also there's SSVF grants that's out there to help them subsidize some of their housing costs. So we're definitely out there beating the bush to help them. Some of them, I'll be honest with you, some of them don't need help. You know, I talk to quite a few of them sometimes. I don't say quite a few because that number seems like it's a large number, small number of them that they say they feel safer living on the street. And so when I hear that, it scares me, but we do our best to try and get them off the street, get them in some housing. Okay.
I know there's been some talk with the National Association of Counties Arts and Culture Commission and the Veterans Affairs Committee, particularly about creative writing and how that's been very effective in terms of addressing PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we can do that's very inexpensive and relatively easy. So we may at some point have a conversation about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They just recently had a VA healthcare summit up in Milwaukee, I think it was the 22nd of last month. And they address a lot of those issues, mental health, PTSD, chronic illnesses that these veterans are coming back with. And sometimes you find out that those carry over to those individuals ending up on the street. And,
yeah, it's of great interest to the Arts and Culture Commission and Veterans Affairs Committee to hammer out something.
So. Yeah, be willing to work with you on that.
Sure. Any other questions? Their motion to approve.
Motion to approve the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gable, second by Supervisor Bloudhoff. All in favor?
Aye.
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 This is where you throw confetti.
Just to give the committee a heads up, our plan is to have Ali starting to work on August 10th. So through a request to Chairman Kubicki, we were able to get this put on tomorrow's agenda for county board. So.
Okay, so don't throw confetti yet.
Yeah. well, you know, I thank you guys for the opportunity to work for a wonderful county, the one that I live in. I look forward to living here, serving, and raising a family. And you know, okay. I'm a Floridian, and people probably think I'm crazy. I'm living here in Kenosha. me and my wife just got back from Florida. Got back on Saturday, so we spent a week away. So I think it's a beautiful county. You know, this morning I even drove out to Twin Lakes. Mm-hmm. And if you ever had a chance to drive around that area, you know, you'd be thankful for living in this, mm-hmm. in Wisconsin, especially Kenosha County. Thanks again. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again.
Agenda item number 5, update on community mental health group.
I'm going to have Laverne do the report, but we had received a number of emails and requests. I wasn't at the last human service meeting, and it dawned on me that we'd been reporting back to mental health AOTA subcommittee about what it is we plan on doing with that, and thought we'd best come back to you and give you the latest update on where we're at with that group. I know there was a lot of enthusiasm and encouragement. I believe it was in the June meeting that we had here, and I didn't want you folks to think we were just pushing that off, because the issue continues, as you'll hear shortly from Lori's second quarter financial report. But first, Laverne.
Well, I think first I just want to say how much I appreciate the enthusiasm and support of the committee toward looking at the broader aspects of mental health issues. It's not often that we get that kind of interest and support. So we're really looking forward to delving more into this. I know the request was to pull a committee together, and we did utilize our mental health advisory committee or services committee, but we hesitated to just bring people to the the folks, stakeholders, to the table without some preparation. The reason being, in the past, that some of these things have been going on for a long time, and people have come together from hospitals and other locations, and we point, this is your problem, this is your problem. They point at us and say, this is a county problem. And it's really a community problem. So before we bring a group together, again, we wanted to be a little more prepared. And so John and I talked about looking at bringing in somebody who could help us with that, to do a better analysis of what the situation is that affects mental health services for people in Kenosha County. So what we would like to do is, and we have identified a potential consultant, what we would like to do is to focus on the issue of improved access to psychiatric services. That would be the access to a psychiatrist or other extending nurse practitioner, psychiatric nurse practitioner, psychiatric physician assistant, to be so access to psychiatric help, the availability of psychiatric beds, and then looking at targeting what if we were able to expand community-based services, where could we target that would have the most impact on reducing beds? The person we're in touch with, somebody who's a retired from the from state DHS. She had been in charge of mental health services and then had been in charge of DHS, has been retired, and her husband is a retired psychiatrist also. So I'm hoping unfortunately she had an extended trip to Finland this summer, so and she hasn't been back yet. So I'm hoping that she showed interest in helping us out, and I'm hoping she can do that. What we'd like to do is to have meetings with, have her kind of look over the data, look at what we're facing with hospital beds, and psychiatry. What are the, what is the situation with the beds, and the number of beds? What the plans are of the hospitals, and bring that information to us. What opportunities are there for some expansion? Whether it's the firm that wanted to go bring additional beds to Green Bay, or some expansion locally. So to kind of do an environmental scan on what the situation is here, and then bring stakeholders together to the table to report on some of that information. The situation has been pretty acute, especially with both the psychiatrists and the availability of psychiatric beds. As you'll find out how it affects our financial status, we've lost psychiatrists in the area. There was an article in the Racine paper about the loss of psychiatrists from Wheaton Franciscan St. Luke's. They have reduced their beds, their psychiatric beds, which has caused us to have to turn toward the institutes at a much higher cost. In addition to reducing their beds, the problem is exacerbated because they're accepting people who, on a voluntary basis, which is good that they're now with access to insurance, people are voluntarily going to the hospital. But they're accepting those and not accepting the people that we see with behavioral issues or more severe concerns. So we're having to turn to the institutes for that help. We're not alone in this. This is happening in other counties as well. But I think that that our initiative to bring stakeholders together, I think will help. Hopefully help us to advance on this or to find some solutions that maybe others aren't finding. With the psychiatrist as well, we've St. Luke's lost a couple of psychiatrists. We've had people retire, and we have not had been successful yet. KIDS has not been successful in recruiting a nurse practitioner or physician's assistant yet, which we had approved in the budget. So. I think we can use some outside help, and that'll.
Supervisor Renslow?
Do you think your person that's retired in Finland trip, is this an issue for her of going back to work, do you think? Or is it money? Or is it, what would stop her from not doing this, do you think? Or don't you know? If you don't know,
I think, when I initially approached her, she was interested, but we didn't get to work out details. And I don't know yet, in terms of cost. She's doing a little bit of consulting work, since her retirement. But.
I also think we should look at this from a budgetary standpoint. As you know me, I'm around here complaining about costs, but this is one area where I'd be for reprioritizing things in this budget to help in that area if needed. I really do, because we know the expense of institutionalized, we know the importance of this. So come budget time, I'd be fine with seeing something in this area that you need and looking somewhere else or whatever, because I just think it's that important. So that's my opinion.
Thank you. Good question.
So that goes, I like it. I think it's great. It's different than what I had in mind, which isn't bad. I really wanted to haul in some of the folks from the state and the feds and say, where y'all at on this? More accurately, what does the picture look like for Wisconsin as a whole? What does it look like specifically for Kenosha? And what do you all have in the pipeline for actually addressing this? Because I know we'll work and work and work, and we've been really, really, really good. But there's a point where they need to look us in the eye and tell us what's going on. I was thinking, I don't know when we're planning to do what, but November or December, and probably at 45 and 50, and grab somebody from DWD and maybe DHS, and I'm thinking HHS at the federal level in the Medical College of Wisconsin, and say, explain to us where stuff is at the state and federal level, because it's a pipeline issue, massively so. That's the conversation. What you're doing, the county administrator, is fine, it's perfect, it's great, it's what we need. But there is a wall there beyond that, and that's what I want to break. And they're the ones that can address exactly where to take the hammer, where to hit, and how hard. So at some point, November, December, I don't know budget-wise where it will be, how that fits with the schedule of things, but one of our Human Service Committee meetings should be dedicated specifically to that as a town hall. So, and I'll probably spend this week or next week pulling names and calling people to see who's available to do that, because we should be able to get people from all of those entities to explain exactly what's going on.
It might be helpful to maybe, I could see where we're at with this effort in between, and maybe before doing that, so that we have a little bit better picture of the, you know, of the environment that we're dealing with right now. I appreciate what you're saying, and we have had people say, well, that, you know, that's a state problem, you know, they need to fix it, or that's a federal problem and they need to fix it. But by the time we wait for them, you know, we won't have it. And it's because we've found local initiatives, like the partnerships that we have for the CIT training, like some of the other things. That's why we're ahead of some of the others, because we've taken, people have cooperated locally and taken an initiative to do something instead of waiting for the state. I agree with you that we do need to advocate as well, but that could take a long time.
But this, this is a point, I think, for us as county board members, where we can intervene critically to advance the cause. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen often around here. And not just through NACO, but through WCA and other channels, and being in legislators' office and just pounding the desk and saying, listen, you've got to make this happen. So for us, I think that's probably what's maybe the most important. And you know, if you feel like it's wiser to wait a little bit and until your team is finished doing what they're doing, that's perfectly fine. I will adhere to the wisdom of these things.
And we can report back to you.
And I think our team, you know, what is found here in Kenosha, is, as I mentioned before, is a national issue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this isn't just new to Kenosha. It's everywhere, certainly every county in this mm-hmm. state and beyond that, because there's such a shortage of psychiatrists nationwide.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you can start there and then work your way down. You know, a visiting psychiatrist is a nurse practitioner or a social worker or somebody that can still reach out and treat them. And the system we've designed here, certainly we're capturing a lot of people, but the ones that you're going to hear about shortly are the ones that are costing us a lot of money, because this resource, St. Luke's, is dried up mm-hmm. from 45 beds to, what, 27 now.
And why is that?
Three psychiatrists left.
And they left just the retirement? That's what you said.
Basically. We don't know. It's been kind of a mystery as what's there were some reduction. In fact, I think there were some reductions in beds to begin with, and then they lost the psychiatrist. So we don't really know what's
going on. Currently they have three psychiatrists. One's a juvenile psychiatrist, and then a temp on board. So they have four psychiatrists over there, where they used to have three more. So, I mean, it's just shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. So, you know, we can certainly, I think, add to the discussion when you say we need them to help us with this. We can pinpoint what this is in our community through this study. And yeah, I would ask that at least we get that ball moving. And certainly you guys will be included in those discussions and brought to the table as part of the group that hears the information. And if you want to be stakeholders, one or all of you, that's important too, I think. So we'd include you in that part too. So,
Supervisor Gable?
I agree with you, David. We got to go after the state and the federal government to get us help in this. But what they're talking about gives us the ammunition. I mean, now we'll have, look, this is our county. This is what's happening here. Why aren't you helping us? Because obviously as a county, we can't, you know, educate psychiatrists. I mean, somebody's got to, from the higher levels, got to make, and if we can give them data, we can show them what's happening. You know, that's going to be a real boost to getting them to help us.
And it might even be smart for us to do something in my time here that I don't know that we've really done, is to specifically look at our folks from the state and the feds, whether it's them or their staff, and say, this is the thing that we want. You know, this is it specifically. That's a problem, and you better make it happen. As opposed to just being, well, we've got this massive list, which is usually what happens when we walk in their offices. We've got some serious muscle and some pretty major cards to play politically at multiple levels of government for both parties to make some stuff happen. So now might be our moment.
Great.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I had a question.
Supervisor Brown,
I've been
I apologize.
Raising my hand. Hello. Sorry.
I have a question. The study that you're doing, are you talking to other psychiatrists that are in the area here as to how you can attract this talent to Kenosha?
I would like to, yeah. I think we should,
because
yeah.
I have a friend who is a therapist here, and, you know, I was, you know, we were talking one day about this problem, and he had practiced in New York for over 10 years prior to coming here, right after he got out of school. And he was originally from here. His mom lives here. So he came back, and he said, I came back because I know Kenosha. I like it here. But to try and get somebody who just got out of school, who lives in a big city, they all want to go there. They don't want to come here, and you have to offer something other than just tuition reimbursement for these people. You know, you have to pay them the money, you know, and it has to be something worthwhile for them to come out here.
Yeah, I think those are the...
So
we need to hit that. I know Dr. Sharma, who's been retired for over a year now, spent 2 years trying to recruit somebody to come in and take his practice and was unsuccessful.
Yeah, and because they don't know anything.
The last conversation we had, I thought you...
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But, you know, so I can understand where he was coming from. He said... You know, he goes, he talks to people all the time, and they're extremely overworked. That's probably why those three people left, you know. And then once they left, they don't have enough people to help out with those beds once they're, you know, full. And it's just this snowball effect that you're not going to get someone, and you're not going to be able to open up any more beds until you get somebody in there to help with that caseload, because it's a very difficult job. It's really, really difficult. I worked at St. Luke's when I was a student, so I know those patients can be very challenging. So.
This becomes a quality of life issue. I mean, we have to show these people what Kenosha offers. I mean, big cities offer a lot of nice things, but Kenosha offers everything the big city does. You can get on a train and go to a big city in a heartbeat. Now we got, what, one professional football team in the state and a semi-pro team in Illinois?
My birth certificate says Cook County, dude.
Kenosha offers a lot, and we have to get this out when you're recruiting, as much as, hey, we're going to pay you good money, but hey, look where you can live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to lock your doors, you don't have to carry a gun, you know, you don't have to wait 3 days in traffic to go one block. Welcome to New York City, you know.
Do you have time after this that we can talk? And is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else? All right. Agenda item number 6, Department of Human Services, 2015 second quarter report.
A long time no see.
Yes, it has been a while.
I've been hiding.
Good job.
Thank you. Okay, so every year I'm here in August with our second quarter report. Most of it is through May 31st.
20 years old? I'm sorry.
No.
I just make it, this picture doesn't look up to date.
Like you? What?
This is this deceptive. This
Photoshop.
Picture is
Oh, look, you got more hair there, don't you?
Before I took this job.
When was this taken? Not 2014.
Yeah.
Boy, how am I going to trust this report, huh?
So anyways, I'm always here this time. Most of these numbers are based through actuals through May 31st, though, because of the timing of doing this report. We didn't have all of June. Some are some June, but then most of them are May 31st.
Wait, are we supposed to have a paper copy of that or a digital one?
Yes, that should be...
It's PDF.
Yeah.
That's not part of what... That's a separate report.
That's not that report.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
You should have it on your...
Oh, I got
it. Yeah, right there. Okay.
Oh. I printed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. Okay.
It kind of looks like this.
You need it?
I have a hard copy.
Yeah, because I have a goofy.
Well, we're not going to speak to this then?
No.
Okay.
Not me.
That's for your reading pleasure.
Oh, okay.
That's in case you can't sleep.
That's tonight.
Page one.
John will go through that page by page.
Where's the next meeting?
I'll try.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So the second quarter looks kind of bleak, and part of it is for aging and disability services, and the other portion is DCFS. And if I can just move to the other pages, because there's more detail behind those. Okay. So pages 2 and 3 are for disability, aging and disability services. So page 2 You can see up at the top is our state institute comparison and hospital inpatient psych. So it's our hospitals and state institutes. And these are all inpatient services. So you can see the institutes are way high, and we have some savings on the hospitals. And that is because of what Laverne has just told you. The decrease in the Wheaton, Franciscan, St. Luke's, I'm sorry, do you want me to wait? Or You look frustrated.
No, I stupidly realized something about the technology that I knew, and yeah, never mind.
Oh, okay.
I totally was like trying to scroll to see if it was like attached to, but it's in the blue and click on the, yeah.
Oh.
It was an idiot move on my part.
Oh, okay. I should know better. I just didn't know if you were.
No, right. Sorry.
When you make faces, I think it's at me.
No, I'm very sorry.
Okay. All right. So you can see that at the end, we're estimating $2 million in institutes at this point over our budget, $2,171,000. And the hospitals, we're saving about just under $400,000 because we're not there. And in the, I don't know what you call this, pink or how orange or whatever it came out to be, is our prior year. So just to give you an estimate, like for the end of May, this is through May 31st, total inpatient this year is $1.1 million. Last year we were at $695,000. And what's happening is because last year at this time we had 68 hospital admissions and we're at 19 projected now. So those 50 plus, okay, differences is what's creating the institute cost going up. So what happens is yes, all of their mental health and IOTA down at the bottom is 1.2 estimated to be over, but they have wonderfully done a great job and have created approximately on track to do $1 million over in other revenue sources like their Medicaid and their prevention CCS services and things like that. So thank goodness that we're over in the revenue budget because we're covering all of this except about $250,000. Page 3 is our admissions for hospitals, institutes, and care center up at the upper left. So you can see that the institute line, the red line, it's funny it's red, but I mean the red line, is extremely high. Higher than it's been in the past 3 years. Also to the right is our average length of stay for each of these, and you can see the purple is our 2015 estimate and that it is 10.2 days versus 9.3. So we're getting hit with a longer average length of stay and more admissions, and the difference is about $560 a day between the hospital and the institutes. So that's dads. And then we, on page 4 and 5, we also have, we do for you a crisis comparison. Page 4 is adult crisis contacts, and page 5 is our juvenile crisis cases. So just to give you an idea of where we're at. It's pretty similar. I'm not seeing any major differences. Either one of them, they're not spiking like the institute admissions.
The institutionalized increase is any attributed? Is there one clear area attributed to? Is it what we just kept on talking about? Mental, it is?
Yes.
I mean, God, that thing is so, that's why it's so expensive, isn't it?
I know Laverne mentioned, you know, the third point in doing the study was for what is needed to keep these people out of institutes. And we were kicking around the idea of, you know, medication management. We need these psychiatric nurses. We need the physician assistants here to help with these people, keep them on their meds, because if they're not, you know, if somebody's not watching them, this is what happens.
One of the, and you might have brought the, or from a judicial side, is a lot of this mandated by courts, some of these institutionalizations?
Yeah, our emergency detentions, that's that bottom chart on page 3, on the page previously. Our emergency detentions, those are all the chaptered cases.
I mean, maybe when we're discussing this, we could bring in someone from that side to see what they've got to say about that. Decisions they make have a lot of repercussions on these cost figures.
Our corporation counsel handles those cases. They can come in and speak.
I'd be curious to hear their side of
This is crisis and.
Well, we bring the cases to them. So what we're requesting, based on our analysis, often law enforcement and the hospitals are involved. They bring in crisis. We say, yes, we agree that this person should be detained. And if it looks like it, they're going to need extensive time, then also a commitment. So we're bringing it to the system. Actually, I think we had, with the court commissioner, we had a couple of cases that there might have been a little bit more difficulty getting some people detained that we felt or committed that we felt should be committed. So it's really our initiative that's...
Okay, well then, okay. If you're comfortable with that, then that's fine. I thought maybe their input would be...
So any questions on aging and disability services? The next page, 6 and 7, are for children and family services. And we are showing a spike in out-of-home placements. And what's happening is the major thing is a couple years ago, the Wisconsin Department of Children and Family Services implemented a level of care assessment tool. And it's supposed to provide a mental health screening tool and a level of need tool for each of the children that are presented. And the regular foster care and treatment foster care parents and social workers are using this for the children. And usually they get like a basic and a supplemental rate to taking care of the children. And then there's like this special need rate. Well, with this tool, it actually increases that rate towards each child, and we've seen this spike now in the last year. So our days of care are going down, but the rate per child is going up.
Is this the YASI screen?
The CAN?
No, YASI is the one for delinquency.
Yeah, it's called Child and Adolescent Needs and Strengths. CANS is the acronym. So on the next page, on page 7, it shows our levels of our days of care are down at this point through May, 1,228 days, but our rates increases so much that it's over budget, $72,000. So that's the difference that's happening with out-of-home placements. We are, when we come in with our 2015 budget, we are proposing an increase in this, so far, you'll probably be seeing an increase in this area. This is really hard to bring down. I mean, we're bringing down the levels, the days of care, but it's really hard to keep that rate down. So very often, these foster cares and treatment foster homes are getting the basic supplemental and now this additional. So no longer are we seeing just the two. The next page is our medical examiner information. It's actually page 8 and 9. And you can see these are the number of autopsies. Currently, we have gone through 66 autopsies. And we're on track to be just around the budget that we had. And then these are the areas. So we have the accidental, homicides, natural deaths, suicides, and we have a couple that have never been determined. But we break down that accidental death number to these sources, so motor vehicle, drug overdose, and other on the bottom. So you can see that our drug overdose isn't too bad this time. These are 2015 is the actuals through May 31st. And the other years are total for the years. And so that graphically represents what's on page 9. 9 is the actual detail of information.
8 suicides by gunshot?
Well, there were 6 last year, so.
When you say, I have just a question, natural deaths, why is there an autopsy done?
Perhaps it couldn't be determined until there was an autopsy done.
Okay.
You know, there was no history or, you know, that type of thing.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. That they could not hear determine the death.
The heart is big under natural causes here for every single year. Do we need to do something about that through the health department?
That certainly is in the Healthy People Kenosha County plan about the one of the areas of concern with Kenosha County residents. That's being addressed through their various work.
And we have alcoholism listed as a natural death, but we're...
Those are definitions not by our office, but by what they do in the medical examiner's world. We didn't define those as locally. That's just the terminology they use in that area.
Interesting.
Yeah. Don't ask me. And then last but not least, Brookside on the front page is below the line. Because this is the year that they get to start keeping any of their excess funds. So they're not included in our total department overage or underage. But here's some information for Brookside. We have it on page 10 is their statistical information that we've been giving you. So up at the top, it shows their average daily census in yellow is their budget. And then in green is the average so far, and they're doing really well. Their target was 50%, and they're 50.7% on the revenue, and they're 98% occupied. So they're still keeping that good occupancy rate. And then graphically down below shows the increase in Medicare admissions, the decrease in Medicaid, because if we take more Medicare, we only have 154 beds. So Medicaid will be dropping, but it's still at least 50% or a little less. And then private pay is pretty much holding the last couple years, about 30. So we think we found that level off. And then on page 11, their bottom line on the column 2 is $264,000 over their budget at this point. So altogether, we are showing right now a need of about $675,000 worth of more levy between the mental health placements and the juvenile placements.
And that's where we gotta work. Mm-hmm. All of us need that, and we just talked about that because that's so expensive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know much more I can say.
We agree.
Yeah, I know you do.
And like Laverne said, we appreciate any help.
And I was the one saying we should spend more money on it, and it's just like, I got to look at
Yeah, but
this.
If you put more money into the preventive part.
Well, that's right.
This reaction, you know.
The institutionalized stuff, that's the biggest kicker. Right. I mean, that's just as... And now you're saying with St. Luke's the way it is, I don't know how, I mean.
That was a shock.
This is like.
None of us saw that coming.
This isn't, we're getting hit.
Yeah, none of us saw that one coming. That was a shock.
What can the state do? I mean, just if you were sitting here, the world is perfect. Obviously add something to a budget. Is that what you're saying? Or is it, if you were a legislator, what would you do?
It's really about being able to get the resources. I think the patients and clients are out there. It's getting them access to that level of care, and it's finding the people that can provide that level of care. You know, once you have that, then you can, you know, we have the CCS program, the Comprehensive Community Service Program, which is expanding, that's 100% funded right now by the state. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we've got a lot of kids in there right now. There's been a big push, children in there right now, because we realize if we get them early, we'll stop some of this cycle and keep them out of the institutes. Mm-hmm. And we're expanding the adult CCS program, which we've had for a number of years. And without that, I'm sure these numbers would look even worse.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's continuing to look at what we have. Not being satisfied with what we have, but to always look at how do you make it better and bigger. And if I was a state, I'd say, you know, here's another resource, telepsychiatry. You know, that's a big thing now. People call up and get a psychiatrist on a screen and they deal with it that way. That has become popular, especially in areas where there aren't psychiatrists, any at all, but also in like Milwaukee because they're so overburdened. So these firms come in and offer you that as an alternative. And it works well for certain patients and people. And for somebody who needs that intensive, I need to see somebody hands-on, that's probably not the best option, but for some communities, that's the best they can offer. And we've gone down that road with a few folks and are opening that door. So it's continuing to look at those and, you know, with technology, what else is out there that we could grab onto. But the state would say, you're no different than anybody else, and we'll work with you with whatever ideas, I believe. I mean, unless you pick.
Well, the one thing they could, I mean, like they did with the dentists, they recognized that we had that there was a shortage of dentists that would accept Medicaid, so they increased the rate so they could increase the rate for the Medicaid rate for psychiatry. That would be one thing, but we still have a shortage of psychiatrists even for private insurance. I think there was a small initiative in the last biennial budget, not this past one, but the one before that, some kind of encouragement for more psychiatrists, but maybe more with the medical schools, some kind of subsidy or incentive to produce more psychiatrists or nurse practitioners or PAs would be two areas. In terms of the hospital, I mean, some of this stuff is, these answers are what we're hoping to find out through the study in terms of what we can do locally as well as what we could request from the state.
Yeah, and you know, just sort of to piggyback off that, I mean, the Department of Workforce Development has had numerous studies about the healthcare workforce in Wisconsin and what the picture looks like in different areas of the state and what might need to be done. So, you know, this is a really key question to ask them to say, you know, what does that look like for us? What might be needed? I know at the federal level, they had intended to tackle this at the same time they were tackling the Affordable Care Act, and it got bumped off the table. Bill never even got a hearing. And it was specifically to expand mental health care providers all throughout America, particularly for children. It's about saying to them, all right, this is where you need to focus the next couple of months. And small children are able to get bills through Congress. I'm surely we as adults with the connections that we have can make something happen at the state and federal level. I don't doubt that.
At least now we're having a discussion on mental health. 5, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, it was just totally ignored. I mean, it's starting.
You can't pick up a magazine that comes with a county government thing on it that doesn't have a mention of something in mental health. And, you know, what's our biggest mental health institutions? The prisons. And every state says that, and everyone says we need to address it and start providing treatment. So that's what's driven a lot of these treatment courts that we have. We have the behavioral health court here. It's small, but hopefully, and we've reported on that in front of this committee, hopefully it gains some momentum and traction to help those folks. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different pieces out there that you try to gather the best you can and help whatever you can, given our limited resources. But you're right, this is a big deal.
It is. And look at the, I mean, it's right there, bang, $600, you know, all that money.
Yep.
And it's difficult because it's you know, you want to control it, but if you don't have some, it's like preventive medicine, exactly.
Lowering the institute costs would be good.
Yeah, they lower the cost of the institutes. There's something they can do.
Yeah.
In a perfect world.
Well, they've got bottlenecks there too, though. We've heard reports about sheriff's cars lined up waiting to drop people off. I mean, we send law enforcement there to take people to the institutes, and we've heard reports that they have cars lined up.
Well, we've gotten emails like before Memorial Day weekend saying, counties, please do, our institutes are full. Please
really?
Do what you can. Yeah. Only send up the very needy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this up in Winnebago? And
yep.
Really?
Yep. So we've gotten that a couple times. We didn't get one for the 4th of July. Must be a quieter time. They'll send them out again. I mean, because they're booked up there too.
Well, yeah. I think they know counties are doing what they can.
Because we got the same, everybody's got the same issue. The counties would much rather prefer to keep that person in their community and work with them at not only a lower cost, but this is where they're going to come back. So this is where they're going to get the service. So find them the help you can here.
Because it's also officer time taking them up there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these hospitals, Aurora, St. Catharines, I mean, they're nonprofits. I mean, can't they give something? I mean, I would.
You mean the hospitals?
And that's part of the reason we want the consultant
to
come
anything,
in
and have money.
That person deal directly with them to see what is it, do they have a plan? And if so, what is it going to look like today, tomorrow, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road? Like expanding in any of those areas that would help us. Because we go knocking on our door, and that's what Laverne and I didn't want, saying, you should, why did you close that? Shame on you. We're going to get a door slammed in our face. So approaching them with a little more, we got a community issue here. Are you, what do you think? You
know, and we should also bring in some of our legislators. Mm-hmm. We need to have them here.
Sure.
And we can get them.
Yes.
But this group can get them. So, right? Do you agree that we should get our legislators in here?
Oh, yeah.
From
absolutely.
Both sides, yeah. Yeah,
you betcha.
Let's put that as a priority and figure that out like you're doing. So, because come budget time, I know that's going to be an issue when you guys are going to ask for an increase on this.
Like this is kind of like pay now or pay later.
Correct.
I mean, you know,
it's got to be done.
I'm hoping St. Louis.
You send them to jail. It's not any cheaper than trying to
free those free vacancies. I hope they add three. You know, get St. Luke's and Wheaton Franciscans up to speed. This was not.
I'm more optimistic than I see going the other way.
Well, I can't.
But you don't know.
Yeah, we can't come in and ask for, you know, $600,000 in budget time. We have to do something, so.
I mean, it was a surprise at the federal level to realize how integral to the U.S. health system that the Department of Veterans Affairs was in terms of training doctors and nurses. I mean, the percentages were huge in terms of the effect that they have. I don't know in terms of mental health if, you know, it's a similar issue, just they haven't paid attention to it, and so we don't necessarily have folks.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's exploring that from, you know, various angles out there, I think is worthwhile.
I know it's difficult, too. I mean, this isn't easy stuff.
No.
It isn't. You can tell us that, yeah.
Any other questions for Ms. Langstings while she's here?
Thank you.
Sure. Love your color charts.
Thank you.
You love my color charts?
It used to just be a giant spreadsheet. It was agonizing.
Hey, don't spreadsheets.
I'm not knocking them. It was just agonizing. I remember looking over Joe Clark's shoulder being, what is that? It's big. Any other committee member comments? Any other business authorized by law? Yes, Mr. James.
I just like to point out that we have put in front of you the 2014 Kenosha County Human Services Annual Report. As noted earlier, some of the pictures maybe need to be updated next year.
You said that last year.
But Laverne and I refused.
That's one of my best pictures.
I didn't know who this was. Like, who is
I keep asking them, do you want a good picture? They say, no, this is a good picture. I look down here.
But they'll also be placed on all the county
boards.
Have
you seen John Jansen?
Yep. I don't know. Oh, yeah, I did. It's like, who's this
man? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
if you see information in there that certainly that you want something else on or want to dig a little further with us, we'd be happy to do that with you. And
do we have a date for the juvenile justice?
The DMC that you emailed me or the
no.
report? The report
that
they presented,
the
I think the decision was made this year not to do a big presentation, and they presented it, I believe, I don't know if they've done it yet, but they were going to do it to the group of judges and those folks. But Ron certainly could be available to come here in September to do that, because he did the child welfare one here, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, he did that.
So we just did the child welfare. That was our first year of that one. So if you'd like that, we can do that and talk about the other issue that you raised in your email.
Yeah, let's do that. All right. We should really do that.
Okay. But speaking of that, when shall we meet next? Because the 7th of September is Labor Day. And that's a Monday. So did you want it the following Monday or the Tuesday before the county board? What did you want?
What is the pleasure of the committee, in the words of the immortal Joe Clark?
Let's do it before the county board if we don't put a whole lot on the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could always meet at 6.
We're not putting that before the county board meeting. I'm just saying it right now. That's not, if it's going to be what we ain't doing that.
Then I guess it's the following Monday.
Does that work?
What date is that?
The 14th.
I mean, now. Won't be here. I'm leaving for Boston that week.
Bring back some soup.
Yeah, my son's getting married, so.
Oh,
congrats.
And it's a long story, but I'm driving. Don't ask my identity. Talk to my wife about that issue. Anyways, that's beside the point. I can't make that.
Joe, we could move it to the Monday following.
It's
entirely up to you all, whatever you want to do.
September 1 is a Tuesday. Is that the county board?
That's county board meeting.
No.
Wouldn't it be the one in
where?
First?
The first Tuesday of the month.
Yeah, it's September 1.
Oh, so the first.
September 8th would not be a county board.
So you could have it the next time.
So you could have it the 8th if you so choose. If you are you.
So it's not a county board. Okay.
I'm okay with
the
8th.
The 1st and
15th. Wait. Was that was that a Monday?
The 7th is a Monday, the 8th is a Tuesday.
Right.
But the September 1st is a Tuesday. So right. That should be your county board meeting.
But it's not.
But it's
not.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I'm so confused.
Wait, we meet
it should
the 3rd.
Be, because there's 5 Tuesdays.
Right. So then the 8th should not be a county board meeting.
Okay.
If it's the 1st and 3rd Tuesdays of the month, mm-hmm. That'd be the 1st.
Yeah. So we could do the 2nd.
Right.
I can do the 2nd Tuesday. Because the 3rd Tuesday is when we do. When do we have planning and development?
That's Tuesday and Wednesday, so it's Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah.
The 8th?
Yeah, I can. Can you? Yeah.
Once, going twice.
Yeah.
I'll send out an email to everybody to make sure those not here are able to make it on the 8th as well.
Okay, so it's going to be the 8th.
Okay. Anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gable, second by Supervisor Blau. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Committee stands adjourned.